Thomas, thank you very much for reading those words. Do keep that bit of the Bible open as we learn together as a church family from God's word this morning. Well, over the last few weeks, if you've been here, the grown-ups and ESBY, the 11th to 14s, have been looking together at this Old Testament book of Judges, which is where the reading has come from. And this morning we come to a man called Gideon, who was a farmer, which is very appropriate for our Harvest Sunday, almost as if we had planned it. But for those of us who've been looking at this part of the Bible, the start of our reading this morning is sadly very, very familiar, because this is something that just keeps happening over and over again in the book of Judges. Have a look with me at the first verse of our reading that Alex read for us just a moment ago. It says this: "The Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years he gave them into the hands of the Midianites." Over and over and over again, God's people keep ignoring him, keep turning away from him. And so over and over again, God keeps disciplining them for their sin and their disobedience by sending enemies to come and to fight them. And this time, he uses some people called the Midianites. You can see from the map that the Midianites didn't have to come very far to do that. They also had some help, as we'll discover in a moment, from some people called the Amalekites. But despite this really, really depressing and sad start to our Bible reading this morning, this part of the Bible is telling us something very important about God. It's telling us what God is like, that he is kind and patient with people who disobey him. God is kind and patient. Now, we're going to be saying that quite a lot together over the next few minutes. So why don't we practice that to have a go at that? Whenever I say God is, we all join together and say kind and patient. Okay, we're getting it. Okay, let's try again. God is
kind and patient.
Fantastic. Now, some people might recognize that particular picture because you may have heard of something called KP Nuts. See what I've done there? Every time we see in this passage of the Bible that God is kind and patient, I have got, look at this, I have got a bag of KP nuts to give to somebody to remind all of us that God is brilliant. You got it. And therefore, it's very important at this point in the talk to issue a health and safety warning. This talk definitely contains nuts, and I hope that won't be a problem for any here. Well, let's have a look at what the Midianites did when they paid Israel a visit. Have a look in your Bibles at verse 2. "Because the power of Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern peoples invaded the country. They camped on the land and ruined the crops all the way to Gaza and did not spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep nor cattle nor donkeys. They came up with their livestock and their tents like swarms of locusts. It was impossible to keep count of them, all their camels. They invaded the land to ravage it." So here we've got the Midianites coming in, chasing all of God's people out of their homes. They had to flee from their homes. They had to go and hide in the mountains and live in caves. And they squashed and crushed all of the crops that they'd been growing. And perhaps saddest of all, they killed all of their farm animals. Now, I don't know if you've noticed, but up here, the front of church on this Harvest Sunday, we've got some lovely crops here. But I need some volunteers here to do some Midianite crop destruction. Yeah, why don't we take you three guys up here. Actually, we might need one more, because there's four. If you could just stand each behind, Harry, come on then. If you could just stand behind one piece of crop, okay, that's great. And this is a slightly anti-harvest thing to do on Harvest Sunday, but it's in the Bible, so we're going to do it anyway, okay? So I want you guys to be Midianites, and you've got to trample and crush the crops that have been grown by Israel, okay? Do you think you can do that? Have a trample and a crush. Oh, bit of a kick. Bit of a kick. Harry's got the hang of it. He's more of a trampler than a tearer. Okay, let's see. Do you want to grab your bit of... Okay, right. Let's show everyone. What does it look like? Here we go. Okay, now, Jonty, there's some peanuts at stake here, so you might want to do what you're off. There we go. That is... Okay, you can stop trampling now. Let me get some peanuts for these guys. They've done a very, very good job. Okay, now, one for you, Harry. One for you, Charlie. Here we go, two more. There we go. One, two. Fantastic. And we're giving them KP nuts because we need to remember that God is... Brilliant. Okay, do you want to go and sit down? Your devastation has worked very well. But hang on a minute, you might be saying, how is all of their crops being destroyed, being chased from your homes and all your farm animals killed? How is that God being kind and patient? And that would be a really good question. And the answer is this. When you make a choice to turn away from God and not live for Him and disobey Him, it is actually very kind of God to allow us to experience what that's like, to allow us to feel the consequences of our choices. It is very kind of Him to help us see that we've made a mistake when we turn away from God. But it's also painful and hard. And so God's people cry out to Him in distress. If you have a look with me back in your Bibles at verse 6. Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Lord for help. Now, I need another volunteer who's good at doing a kind of crying out as if they're in real, real pain. Yeah, here we go. Now, come on up. Come on up. Here we go. I thought I might get quite a lot of volunteers for this talk. Okay, now, what you need to do is some wailing. And there's a little trigger there. Okay, and do some really, as if you're really in pain. No, it's that way around. There we go. Okay, got the hang of that? Well, quite a bit of acting as well going in there. But really loud, really loud. Oh, fantastic. Clearly in real distress and pain. Let me get that off you, because I'm going to need that in a moment. And... let me give you a pack of KP nuts, because God is
kind.
Thank you very much. Go and grab a seat. God is kind and patient, because when He heard that cry of distress and pain from His people, He sent someone to help them. He sent someone to help them, but He didn't send straight away someone to save them from their enemies, like He's done before, like we've seen before in the book of Judges. This time, before He sends someone to save them, He sends someone to explain to them what is going on and why everything is going wrong. That is a very kind and patient thing for God to do, to give them an explanation for their lives. I need another volunteer, someone who can read. Let's hear. There we go. It's not very much. Sorry. Okay, now, we're going to read out the explanation that God kindly gave to His people to help them understand what was going on. I'm going to read out the bit that God said He did, okay? And then Alexia's going to read out the bit that He said that they did or didn't do, okay? You can follow it along in your Bibles, because it's what the prophet said to them. I'm going to be reading from verse 7. When the Israelites cried out to the Lord because of Midian, He sent them a prophet who said, This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. This is what God did. I brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians, and I delivered you from the hand of all your oppressors. I drove them out before you and gave you their land. I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live. That's everything that God had done. Now let's just going to read out the bit that God says the people had done.
But you have not listened.
Let me just see if I can fix my microphone. So first of all, everything that God had done, and then what the people had done. But you have not listened to me. Well done, that was a bit too easy, but you still get a packet of KP nuts, because God is... Fantastic. Now, after God had sent a prophet to the people, he sends an angel. He sends an angel. Have a look with me at verse 11. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abizrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. Now, I need another volunteer to come and be Gideon, threshing wheat in a wine press to hide from the Midianites. Who would be a good threshing sort of person? Ethan, you look at, as if this is something you would like to do. So, I've got here a wine press. Okay, I'm just going to put it there. And I've got here some untrampled that I saved earlier. And we're going to put that ready for threshing. And here, I don't know if you've seen one of these before. This is a threshing stick. Okay. Do you know how to thresh? So why did you put your hand up? Because he wants KP nuts, yeah. I did actually know the answer to that question. So let me demonstrate threshing. You're going to do it, but I'm going to show you how to do it, okay? So there's the wheat that needs threshing. And then you give it a good old whack, because you've got to get the grain off the stalk. Okay, let me show you again. Got it? Think you can do that? But you've got to do it in the wine press, okay? Because you're hiding from the Midianites. Let me just hang on. We've got to get our length right. There we go. Give it really as hard as you get. Whoa! Okay. Okay, I think I might have weakened it a bit. You really don't know how to do this, do you? Okay, well, Ethan, look, I'm still going to give you a packet of KP nuts. Why are we giving Ethan these nuts? Because God is? He's kind and patient. That's right, exactly. Let's get rid of... I need to be much more careful about which volunteers I choose, I think. Now, God is kind and patient, not just in sending an angel, but because of what the angel says. Have a look at what the angel says in verse 12. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, and he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Isn't that a kind and patient thing to say to someone who's so scared that they're hiding in a wine press to do their threshing? The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. It's so encouraging. Such an encouraging thing to say. But instead of being encouraged, look at how Gideon replies. He's actually quite rude to the angel. Have a look at verse 13. "Pardon me, my Lord," Gideon replied, "but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." Do you see what Gideon's saying? He's saying, look, if God really was with us, then why is all this bad stuff happening to us? What's gone wrong? Of course, he's conveniently chosen to forget that it's not God who's abandoned them, but them who've abandoned God. He's turned it around in his head. We sometimes do that in the way we think, don't we? Turn it around in our heads. But the angel very kindly ignores his rudeness, and he tells him that God is going to use this man, Gideon, to save his people from the Midianites. And Gideon responds with some whinging and some whining. I need a volunteer who's really good at whinging and whining. John T., I actually know you are, but you've already had a go. Yeah, I do know that as well. Amelia, yeah, why don't you come up? No, Amelia, no. Do you want to bring your sister with you? There we go. Sophie and Amelia, come on up. Now, don't take this personally that I chose you. Don't mean anything by it. I think we can use this as, if I just change the settings on this, I'm not really doing anything. There we go. Can we do some whining? Can you do a bit of whining? Amelia's better at it. Shall I show you what I mean? Wow. 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 Something like that? No, not Amelia. A little bit tight. Like, imagine you're at home.
Wow.
Oh, now we're getting there. Now we're getting there. It was that imagine you're at home bit that helped, didn't it? I was expecting to have two volunteers for whinging and whining, which means somebody might need to go into my study and get another packet of KP nuts. Perhaps not you, Jonty, but someone I could trust not to eat them on the way back. Gideon replied by whinging and whining. Let's have a look at what he actually said, the words that he actually said. It's in verse 15. Pardon me, my lord, Gideon replied, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. And if you look at the next verse, it's quite interesting, because we're told that God himself replies. Verse 16, the Lord answered, I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive. Again, God says, Gideon, I am going to be with you. That is very kind and patient for God to say that to someone who's whinging and whining at him. Now, at this point, Gideon begins to wonder whether it is God who is speaking to him, whether it really is God asking him to save his people. But he's just not sure. This has never happened to him before. And so he asks for a sign. He asks for a sign. Have a look at verse 17. Gideon replied, if now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it really is you talking to me. Please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you. And the Lord said, I will wait until you return. Gideon needs a sign because he doesn't completely believe what God has said to him. And God gives him a sign because God is. And he agrees to wait while Gideon gets his offering ready. Have a look at verse 19. Gideon went inside, prepared a young goat, and from an ephah of flour, he made bread without yeast. Putting the meat in a basket and its broth in a pot, he brought them out and offered them to him under the oak. Now, if you look very carefully in your Bibles at the bottom of the page, you can see that an ephah, if that's how you say it, of flour, is about 16 kilograms. That would make well over 30 loaves of bread for one angel. Forget the Great British Bake Off. This is the Great Israelite Bake Off. There's only one contestant, Gideon, and there's only one judge, who is an angel, so probably more like Mary Berry than Paul Hollywood. And the theme for the Bake Off this week is bread and meat. And the sheer quantity of bread is what is going to get you winning this round. I looked up on Google how to prepare a young goat. I wasn't entirely sure. And I was told that it would take 5.5 hours to roast a small to medium-sized goat on a spit. That's how long God had to wait for Gideon to go and get his offering ready. God was going to wait for 5.5 hours until Gideon came back. And God was willing to do that because God is... Look what happens next. Putting the meat in a basket and its broth in a pot, he brought them out and offered them to him under the oak. The angel of God said to him, "Take the meat and the unleavened bread, place them on a rock, and pour out the broth." And Gideon did so. Then the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread with the tip of the staff that was in his hand. Fire flared from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread, and the angel of the Lord disappeared. Wow. Now there is a sign for Gideon, if ever there was one, that it really was God speaking to him, asking him to save his people from their enemies. Now, I've got a picture here. Let me just find it. Of the offering that Gideon brought. And I don't know if you can see all the bread. There's probably not quite enough. All the bread piling up and the roast goat is going in a basket. And then all the juices from the meat is going in a pot. Just like it says in the Bible. And I've got here a rock. Here is a rock. Here's one I made earlier. And the angel told Gideon to put his offering on a rock. So we'll do that. And then, I'm not going to ask for a volunteer for this one. Ethan has turned this threshing stick into a staff. And we're told, Josh, it would be quite handy to have you just at this moment. That would be really helpful. Perhaps you could come and stand just here. This bit isn't in the Bible, but it's probably just as well. So, let me see if I can get this going. There we go. When he touched the rock with the staff, we're told that fire came out of the rock and... It burnt up all. Let's put this over here. Josh, thank you. I'm so glad that we didn't need you. Do go and I'm going to give myself a packet of KP nuts because God is. God is very kind and patient to give Gideon such a clear sign like that. And you would have thought, wouldn't you? You would have thought that when Gideon got a sign like that, he would be so encouraged to know that God is with him. But have a look what he says. Verse 22. It's on page 248 if you've lost the place. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, "Alas, Sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." He suddenly realizes who he's been talking to all along. And maybe he suddenly, in that moment, he realizes how rude he was the first time he spoke to the angel. And he realizes he's in real trouble now. He actually thinks he's going to die. But have a look at what God says to him. In verse 23, "But the Lord said to him, 'Peace, do not be afraid. You are not going to die.'" Isn't that a kind and patient thing of God to say to him, to reassure him, "Gideon, you've got nothing to fear from me, that you are safe with me, you have peace with me, when you've been so rude to me, when you treated me so badly, when you whined and whinged, and you're so reluctant to do what I'm asking you to do." God gives him peace. And at the very end of our reading, Gideon gets it right. At last, he responds in the right way to God's kindness and patience. Have a look at the last verse, and we're nearly done. So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it the Lord is Peace. And to this day, it stands in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. Do you see what Gideon does? He worships God. He worships God. He knows he's been rude and whiny and whingy and reluctant towards God. And he knows that he actually deserves to be in real trouble with God because of that. But he also knows, because God has just told him, that he has peace with God. Undeserved peace with God. And all that is because God is. And God is like that with Gideon. And actually, the good news is, he's like that with us too. We know, don't we, that often we are rude to God. The way that we treat him, the way that we ignore him. We're whinging and whining. We're reluctant to believe him. And actually, if we're honest with ourselves, we know that because of that, we deserve to be in trouble with him for the way that we so often treat him. But we also know that we can have peace with God, undeserved peace with God, not just actually because God tells us, but because he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for us, to take the trouble that we're in with God on himself so that we can have peace. What's the right response when you know that about God, about God's undeserved peace, his kindness and his patience in Jesus Christ? Well, the right response is Gideon's response. It's to worship God. Not by building an altar. We don't need an altar now to worship God. We worship God with all of our lives. All of our lives living for God. Because God is. Well, why don't I lead us in a prayer, thanking God for the kind of God that he is, the way that he treats us. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you don't treat us as we deserve, but you are so kind and patient towards us, that you give us peace, and that you show us that peace through your Son, Jesus Christ. Please would you help us to respond in the same way Gideon responded, and worship you as our kind and patient God. Amen.